to read from 50 to 55. So first I will read Sanskrit and translation, and we will move to 55, and then we will do shloka together. Text 50. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we are reading from 7th canto, chapter 7, Hiranyakashipu, King of the Demons. 2. Chapter 2. Text 50. Lubdako vipine kashchit pakshinam nirmitontaka vitatya jalam vidade tatra tatra pralobhayan. Translation. There was once a hunter who lured birds with food and captured them after spreading a net. He lived as if appointed by death personified as the killer of the birds. Purport. This is another instance from the history. Text 51. Kulinga mitunam tatra vicharat samdrasyataha tayo kulingi sahasa lubdakena pralobita. Translation. Why wandering in the forest, the hunter saw a pair of kulinga birds. Of the two, the female was captivated, but the hunter lured. 52. Sasajata sichas tantriam mahiyas kalayantrita kulingas tantatapanam nirkishya brishya dukhita snehada kalpaha kripan kripanam prayadevadyat. Translation. O queens of Suyagya, the male king bird, seeing his wife put into the greatest danger in the grip of providence, became very unhappy because of affection to the poor bird. Being unable to release her, began to lament for his wife. 53. Aho akurano devastriya karuna vibuha kripanam mam sochantya dinaya kim kyarishyati. Translation. Alas, how merciless is Providence. My wife, unable to be helped by anyone, is in such an awkward position and lamenting for me. What will Providence gain by taking away this poor bird? What will be the profit? 54. Kamam nayato mam deva kim adrenat manohime dinena jivata dukham anena vidurayusha. Translation. If unkind providence takes away my wife, who is half of my body, why should he not take me also? What is the use of my living with half of my body, bereft by loss of my wife? What shall I gain in this way? 55. Katam tvajata paktam shtan matrhinam bibarmi aham manda bhagya pratikshante nideme matramam praja. Katam tvajata paksham stan matrhinam bibarmi aham manda bhagya pratikshante nideme matramam praja. Katam tvajata paksham stan madhinam bibarmi aham manda bhagya pratikshante Nideme matramam praja. Samvaishnavas. Patam svajata paksham stan. Matrinam pibarme aham. Mandabhagya pratikshante. Nideme matramam praja. Katam pajata paksham stam madrihinam viparmyaham mandabhagya pratikshante niteme mataram praja. Katam pajata paksham stam Madrihinam bhavanaham Mandabhagya pratikshante Nideme matranam praja Katam pajata paksham tam Madrihinam vibarmyaham Mandabhagya pratikshante Nideme mataram praja Katam pajata paksham stam Matkinam adivanyam Mandabhagya pratikshante Nideme matramam praja. Word by word translation. Katam. How. To. But. Ajata Pakshan. Who have not grown wings to fly. Tan. Them. Matrihinan. Bereft of their mother. Vibrami. Shall maintain. Aham. I. Mandabhagyaha, very unfortunate. Pratikshante, take await. They await. Nide, in the nest. Me, my. Mataram, their mother. Prajaha, baby birds. Translation. The unfortunate baby birds, bereft of their mother, are awaiting in the nest for her to feed them. They are still very small and have not yet grown their wings. How shall I be able to maintain them? Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The bird is lamenting for the mother of his children because the mother naturally maintains and cares for the children. Yamaraja, however, in the guise of a small boy, has already explained that although his mother left him uncared for and wandering in the forest, the tigers and other ferocious animals had not eaten him. The real fact is that if the Supreme Personality of Godhead protects one, even though one be motherless and fatherless, one can be maintained by the goodwill of the Lord. Otherwise, if the Supreme Lord doesn't give one protection, one must suffer in spite of the presence of his father and mother. Another example is that sometimes a patient dies in spite of a good physician and good medicine. Thus, without the protection of the Lord, one cannot live with or without parents. Another point in this verse is that fathers and mothers have protective feelings for their children, even in bird and beast society, not to speak of human society. Kali Yuga, however, is so degraded that the father and mother even kill their children in the womb on a plea of their scientific knowledge that within the womb the child has no life. Prestigious medical practitioners give this opinion, and therefore the father and mother of this day kill their children within the womb. How degraded human society has become. Their scientific knowledge is so advanced that they think that within the egg and the embryo there is no life. Now, these so-called scientists are receiving Nobel Prizes for advancing the theory of chemical evolution. But if chemical combinations are the source of life, why don't the scientists manufacture something like an egg through chemistry and put it in an incubator so that a chicken will come out? What is their answer? With their scientific knowledge, they are unable to create even an egg. Such scientists are described in Bhagavad Gita as Mayayapahrita Gyanah, fools whose real knowledge has been taken away. They are not men of knowledge, but they pose as scientists and philosophers, although their so-called theoretical knowledge cannot produce practical results. One more time, I will read the translation. The unfortunate baby birds, bereft of their mother, are waiting in the nest for her to feed them. They are still very small and have not grown their wings. How shall I be able to maintain them? Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sintubhya Vacha Patitanam Pavane Vyo Vaishna Vibhyo Namo Namaha. So, after finishing the funeral ceremony for his brother, Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu started to preach his family who were lamenting after the death of Hiranyaksha. And he started to preach them about eternal soul. And he told them that there is no point for lamenting because the soul is eternal, and now Hiranyaksha is on his way of eternal journey. So he is continuing this, his eternal journey. And to prove his words, he starts to recite the ancient story about King Suyagya, who was killed on the battlefield, and his queens were lamenting and grieving so much that Lord Yamaraj came in the disguise of a small boy and started to preach them about knowledge of self-realization. And and Prabhupada said in the purport that why Yamaraj took the form of a small boy, because everyone is interested in hearing the philosophy from the child. So he starts to preach them about self-realization just to remove the lamentation and sorrow of these queens. And he told them that the soul is eternal. The nature of the soul is eternal. We never die. We cannot cut the soul to pieces. We cannot do anything. It's everlasting. And also, he said about the temporary nature of the matter, that whenever body we have, we cannot keep it forever. We have to leave it one day, sooner or later. And he started to talk also about the desire, that the desire, by the desire of the Lord only, not by our own desire, we have some gain or loss, that everything depends of the Lord's desires. And to point this He start to tell story within the story. Now about these two birds and a hunter. So hunter kill one bird, and now the male bird is lamenting for the loss of his wife. And when he is lamenting so, he will lose his life also, because the hunter will kill him. So by this story, the relatives of Hiranyakashipu will lose their lamentation, and they will get the knowledge that yes, we are eternal and the body is temporary only matter. So in this today's verses and or in this whole section, we heard many times the word suchanta, lamentation. And lamentation is a passionate expression on our grief or sorrow. And in Nectar of Devotion is statement from Padma Purana that devotee, as devotee, we shouldn't lament any loss or any gain. We're supposed to be in equilibrium. And we should never lament, because we should always think of Krishna. And in the purport there, Srila Prabhupada mentioned that that is the nature of conditioned soul, that we are always thinking about some material activities, but we have to shift ourselves and free ourselves from these thoughts of matter and be full in Krishna consciousness. And also in Bhagavad Gita, we have a statement, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nasochati Nakankshati Sama Sarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhakti Labhate Param. That if one is transcendentally situated, he at once realizes the Supreme Brahman, and he never laments or desires anything, and he is equal disposed to all living entities, and in that state, he attains pure devotional service. So, but what about devotee like me, who are not on the Brahma Buddha state yet? I have to shut my emotion and falsely deny that I have some desires. And we know that in this material world is full of miseries, and even Krishna is sorry for us that we are here in this material world. And he says in Bhagavad Gita, Mameivam cha jivaloke jiva bhuta sanandana manasa stani indriyani karshati prakriti stani karshati, that although the living entity are eternal fragmental part of Krishna, because of this condition he is now in this material world, and he suffers by senses and mind. Because all the sufferings we can have only through the mind. But also in Shastra we see that we have many examples of devotees who were lamenting, who were desiring something, and they were still devotees. And they are even describing holy book. So we can learn from them what to do it. And one example of lamentation is example of King Chitraketu, who after death of his son became lamenting, and like whole world is finished for him. But that time on the scene came Narada Muni, who is full of mercy and full of compassion, and he wanted to console Chitraketu, and he wanted to help him. But how? He gave him knowledge, transcendental knowledge, and also the prayer. And in such a same way, Srila Prabhupada, he is like Narada Muni, very compassionate, very merciful. And he came here to the West and established ISKCON, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and he gave us transcendental knowledge, Vedic literature like Srimad Bhagavatam, and he gave us also a prayer. And this prayer, the most famous prayer, is Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And Srila Prabhupada said that to save one ourselves and save others, it's very, we have to do it in the right way. And it doesn't matter if someone likes or dislikes the truth. We have to say the truth. And this truth, the knowledge, will save us from this dangerous material world, from suffering, from repeated birth and death, and from lamentation. And will purify our desires. And he said that there is no point like to compromise anything. We cannot compromise the truth. We have to say the truth. Because there is a necessity for this. And we can see the necessity, especially in Kali Yuga. Even in our purport today, Srila Prabhupada wrote that in Kali Yuga, however, is so degraded that the father and mother even kill their children in the womb on the plea of their scientific knowledge that within the womb, the child has no life. Prestigious medical practitioners give this opinion, and therefore the father and mother of this day kill their children within the womb. How degraded human society has become. So we can see the mood of Srila Prabhupada. That is like necessity is very urgent, that this Kali Yuga is degrading day by day. The people, they are confused. They don't know what is the truth. So they listen so-called scientists and they believe them that yes, in the womb there is no life. In the child there is no life, so they kill. So Prabhupada said, no, we have to tell people the truth. We have to give them knowledge so they will understand. So we cannot compromise about the truth. And same with desire. We have desires. We have to purify them somehow. And to support us, to give us solace. Srimad Bhagavatam in second canto tells us, Akama sarva kama va moksha kama udaradi tivrena bhakti yogena jayeta purusham param. That a person who has broader intelligence, whether he is full of material desires or he doesn't have any material desires or he wants liberation, by any means he must, by all means, he must worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there is hope for us, even though we have these material desires, at least I have, there is a hope that if I will turn towards Krishna, it will be purified. So prayers are the powerful tool to help us purify our desires and also overcome our lamentation. And praying Vandanam is one of the 9 processes of devotional service. And Srila Prabhupada said that if someone will glorify Krishna, will pray to Krishna, his life will be successful. And also in Narsimha Purana is written that anyone who will stand, who will see deities of Lord Krishna, and he will chant the prayers in front of the deities, all his sinful reactions will be destroyed and he will be eligible to enter Vaikuntha Loka. And once Srila Prabhupada was asked, if we say sincere prayer to Krishna or to you, to Guru, so if we are here and Krishna is somewhere and our Guru is not with us, so if our prayer will be heard, And if actually Krishna will accept the prayers. And Srila Prabhupada said that never any sincere prayer will go in vain. That Krishna is everywhere, Krishna is every atom, he is also a Paramatma. So he will hear and he will accept our prayers. And automatically, how Krishna will accept prayers, then Guru will accept prayers as well. And otherwise also, if Guru will accept prayers, Krishna automatically will accept our prayers. But Prabhupada said, but there is one point, the prayers must be sincere. And because Lord Krishna has also feelings, and if we praise him and we say nice things to him, he is satisfied. But when we say harsh things to Krishna, harsh words, he will be dissatisfied with us. So always it's better to say some nice things to Krishna, because we will be benefited by this. And Srila Prabhupada said also that Krishna's another name is Uttama Shloka, that is the one who is glorified by the utmost glories. And Prabhupada said, but we have many prayers in our Vedic literature. Even Christianity and Muslims, they have their prayers in Bible, in Quran. And although they don't worship the deities, they offer prayer to God, and this is also bhakti. So prayers is so powerful. And Prabhupada said that everyone can say the prayer from heart of the heart. And because no one is perfect enough to really glorify Krishna. Starting from Brahma, Shiva, down to all living entities, no one is perfect. And no one is able to actually glorify unlimited Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is impossible. So for everyone is a hope. So everyone is situated relevant in his position according to the karma somewhere. So everyone can pray sincerely according to his or her capacity. And even in the darkest region of material existence, one is allowed to say prayer to the Lord according to one's capacity. It's when we are lamenting or we have desires, we are not on the top platform, but still, even then, we are allowed to say prayer. And Prahlad Maharaj, in seven canto, soon will say the prayers to Lord Nrisimhadev. And he said that, although I was born in the demoniac family, I still will not hesitate and I will offer the prayers to the Lord with full endeavor as far as my intelligence will allow me, because anyone who has been forced to live in this material world may be purified by, might be purified, his life can be purified when he offers prayer to the Lord and he hears the glories of the Lord. So when we pray, we actually link with the God. It's very personal and very intimate thing. So prayer can fulfill the basic needs of everyone, whether he is religious or not religious, if one believes in God or no. Because when we prayer will put in words whatever is troubling us. And because it's very difficult to deal with a problem if it's somewhere in the air and it's not so much substantial. It's not written down. So the prayer is like process of writing down of our prayer. So when we put down on the paper, we have to put in the words and it already minimizes the problem itself. and also prayer removes loneliness from the heart. And we can feel that we are not alone, that the Lord is always with us. We can share our burdens. And also prayer is the first step towards action. Because when we figure out what the problem is, what our desire is, and when we articulate it and put it in the words, then, and we will know that we have someone who can help us, will ease us to make an action. And also when we pray, we start from appreciation of the Lord according to our capacity. We appreciate the Lord. We tell that we can realize even that God is great and we are small and we are completely dependent on the Lord. And then we become more humble. Even at least for this time being, we become more humble. And then we can actually realize that God, Krishna, He creates, maintains, and annihilates all these universes. So why not us? It's not a big deal for Krishna to maintain us. Same like Prabhupada said in our purport today. The real fact is that if the Supreme Personality of Godhead protects one, even though one is motherless or fatherless, one can be maintained by the goodwill of the Lord. And then we can actually acknowledge the greatness and power of the Lord. And then we will become little curious. Who is that great person? We want to naturally know more about him and about his instruction. So we will be more willing to follow the instruction of the God, of the Shastras, by praying. And also, we will be more willing to gradually accept the greatness, and also we will figure out that our interest actually is in following Krishna's instruction, to follow, because it's good for us. To follow God's rules is good for us. It will help us. So we can see that every time we pray, we become more humble. We have this curiosity about to know more about God, and we want to follow. So every time we pray, we like engrave in us this habit to pray and remember Krishna more and more. And we can see that actually prayers will help us gradually to surrender more and more to Krishna. Because when we pray, we can see that Krishna is great, so we become more meek and humble. We can see that Krishna protects us, and Krishna maintains us, and we are willing to accept what is favorable, reject what is unfavorable, and actually put our interest with the interest of Krishna. And what we can see, that this is 6 items of surrender. So every time we pray, we help ourselves to surrender actually to Krishna. And remember Krishna. And what Srila Prabhupada said in Nectar of Devotion, what I said, that every man in this material world thinks about material activities, but when we pray, we will take our attention from this matter and we will put to Krishna. And this is perfection of life, to be Krishna conscious more and more. So the prayer is so powerful that every time we pray, it's a powerful tool who helps us become more Krishna consciousness, even from the state when we're lamenting or we have some material desires. So I would like to say at the end my favorite prayers. My prayer from fifth canto to Lord Narasimhadev. Om namo bhagavate narasimhaya namaste jaste jase avir arvi vajra nakha vajra damsraya karmasayam randaya randaya tamo grasa grasa om svaha abayam abayam atmani bhuishta om kshrom. I offer my respectful obeisances to Lord Narasimhadev, the source of all power. O my Lord, who possesses nails and teeth like thunderbolt, kindly vanquish our demon-like desires for fruitive activities in this material world. Please appear in our heart and dry away our ignorance, so by your mercy we may become fearless in the struggles for the existence in this material world. Thank you. Some questions and comments? Yes.
Thank you for the class. Oftentimes, Prabhupada said that, you know, basic mood of our prayer should be to be engaged in devotional service to the Lord. And,
could you please say a little louder?
Yeah, oftentimes Prabhupada said our basic prayer should be to be engaged in devotional service to the Lord, but then oftentimes, I like what you said, how we have material desires that get in the way of this, so praying to Krishna, how to realize what these desires are and how to deal with them is a very nice thing. I was just wondering if you could maybe elaborate on how we avoid mixing our material desires in with our prayers. Like sometimes we have prayers to be engaged in Krishna's service, but we also mix our material desires in with those prayers, like doing what we want to do in Krishna's service. How can we avoid that, I guess?
First of all, we have to be honest to ourselves and admit that we have some material desires. Because when we see that we are here and our goal is here, so we know that it's something to do. We have some field for activities to improve ourselves. But when we deny our desires, so we will think that we are here, but desires are so here, so we will not improve anything because we will think that we are without these material desires. But when we admit, yes, I have material desires, and what is good, Krishna says, and Srimad Bhagavatam confirmed that even if someone has full of material desires, he has to somehow must worship Krishna. So we know this is not so pure from our side. I have this desire, so I admit I have the desires, and I pray to Krishna, please, Krishna, purify my desires, purify me. And by this act of praying itself is form of devotional service, vandana. And by doing devotional service is only way to remove our material desires. Devotional service is only way. So when we are not perfect in this material world, almost no one is perfect, otherwise we will not be here. So we have to pray. By this praying devotional service, we will purify ourselves. But always Prabhupada said, we have to be sincere, we have to be honest, we have to admit. Then we know, then we are naturally more humble. We know that we are not perfect, so we have to, in humble mood, stand up before Krishna and say, Krishna, yes, please help me. I cannot do myself. Thank you. It's okay?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, please.
Thank you, Mataji, for the very nice class. You elaborated a lot on prayer and the importance, and how even in the Purport, Prabhupada mentions that the birds, their parents were not there, but still they'll be protected. So many times devotees mention that once you're, when you're born, immediately your karma, your destiny is already written. What you'll get, how you'll get it, when you'll die, etc. So when we pray for something, is it right to still ask, or we leave it on the sanction of the Lord as to when He'll provide and how He'll provide, or should you ask the Lord in the prayer for whatever you desire?
Okay. Krishna knows everything. So in one way, it's written also in Shastra that pure devotee doesn't ask for anything. But it's the case of pure devotee. If I'm not pure devotee and still I have some desires, I know that Krishna knows what I have. But I want to have some relation with Krishna. This is very natural. He is my best friend. So I'm struggle alone with these desires. So why not ask our best friend for help? It's like common sense. And even here we have Lord Nrisimhadev down. And many devotees come and pray. And we have this beautiful book, Nrisimhadev. So it's nothing wrong to come. Nrisimhadev is like our father. We have problem. Go to father. Don't go here and there. Must worship Krishna. So this is, if we have desire or not, we have to worship Krishna. Why not by prayer? Prayer is one of the devotional service process. So this is one way of praying, of worshiping, yeah? But we admit that we are not pure, we are sincere, and we want help. Thank you. Make sense? Thank you. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.